Hey, this is David Novak, and welcome to another edition of It's All About Relationship, and this is episode number 73. Hey, stick around. It's going to be a really good one today. I have a very, very special guest. You don't want to leave. Hang on. All right, we're going to get into it right now. If this is your first time joining us, we're really glad you are here. And if you're returning, we're very happy to have you back. Just clean up some stuff. As you know, we're on Facebook. It's all about relationship. And if you want to follow me as an actor, you can do that too. It's David Novak Actor. And Instagram, it's David Novak Podcast. If you want to follow us on Instagram, and then David Novak Actor, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, so get to the good stuff here. Enough with all that other stuff. Okay. We have a very special guest today. He was on the show, a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, and he was just awesome. We had a lot of great feedback, and I've heard him personally many, many times, and he's an awesome teacher, teaching the Word of God. The guy's an awesome family man, awesome Christian, a great person, and all the accolades that I can lay on him, I'm doing it right now. Welcome to the show, Josh Lotzenheiser. Josh, Pastor Josh.
Dave, thank you so much, man. I don't know if I can live up to those that introduction there. My goodness, thank you, thank you so much.
You know what? And I meant every last word of it. I'm not just saying it for the show here. I really do mean everything I just said. So,
I appreciate that very much.
Amen, amen. We're gonna get to it in just one second here. If you want to follow Josh, Pastor Josh, you can catch him at churchofgrace.com. He's a teaching pastor over at Church of Grace. In Yorba Linda, California. And if you want to catch his messages on YouTube, you can do that at joshlotzenheiser.com. Did I say it right, Josh?
It was close enough, but if you go to YouTube and type in my name, Josh Lotzenheiser, you'll find me. I'm there.
Okay, cool. Okay, Josh, let's get right into it because we don't want to keep the people waiting any longer, and what you have to say is always gold. So,
thank you. Thank you, Dave. And again, it's an honor to be on your show. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about the Word. And, you know, I pray and hope somebody's listening right now that's going to have some questions answered and set free in some areas. And I'm excited to get into it.
I know that's going to happen too. We were talking just a couple minutes ago, and we were talking Old Testament, New Testament, and grace versus the law. And I know that can always be a big question mark for a lot of people. So get into it. Let's go.
Well, it's grace versus the law. The fact that it's even a conversation, that we even have such a thing is really an indictment on our ability to interpret scripture properly, really, because God did so much to initiate this new covenant. And so just to give some basics, really, we know that our Bible is split into two halves, we would say, you know, one shorter than the other. But you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it doesn't mean like the New Testament's just newer and the old one's just old, although that's true. But what it really is referring to are the different covenants. So there's the Old Testament or Old Covenant, and then there's the New Testament, New Covenant. And we would understand this terminology a lot better if we brought it in today's vernacular. For instance, if you had a contract with Verizon, and then you decided you wanted to get a new phone plan, a new contract with AT&T, then you would now refer to your contract with Verizon as the old contract, the Old Testament. And your new contract with AT&T is the New Testament. So for you to live with your contract with AT&T based on the contract you had with Verizon will breed dysfunction. It won't work because that's not the covenant that you made with the company. That's not the deal you have. And so a lot of Christians are trying to live, or in their mind, their belief system, the way they live, they are living under the new covenant, as if they were under the old covenant. The way they relate with God, the way they relate with people, a lot of them are old covenant ways. And that's just because the church, you know, they just put the whole Bible all together, which it is. However, in order to understand and properly interpret the scriptures and give authority and integrity to the author of the text, you have to interpret the scriptures properly and put them in their proper context. Who was it written to? What was the context of the culture of society of that day? And then once you start, you know, researching and really understanding those key elements, now you can properly interpret the scripture, which creates a biblical worldview for us today. And I really believe that if we understood this grace message in comparison to the message of law, and we began to live in this pure, unadulterated freedom of grace, this world would be won over in moments. I mean, literally everybody, people wouldn't be able to be silent about how wonderful Jesus is if they understood this new covenant. And one of the best ways, like for the listeners, that I can show us the absolute difference between the two covenants is, well, there's many ways, but one, if you think about it, when the old covenant was given, called the law, through Moses on Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died that day because they broke it. How, in contrast, when the new covenant was given, which, by the way, I know our Bibles have a page in between Malachi and Matthew that says New Testament, that's actually not the beginning of the New Testament. The New Testament does not begin until Jesus dies on the cross. As the book of Hebrews tells us, I believe it's in chapter 9, that the new covenant cannot come into being without blood. Just like you, if you have an inheritance for your kids, that inheritance does not come into effect until you pass away. And so it's the same thing. It wasn't until Jesus died and then the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost that this new covenant actually began. And what's interesting, in contrast to the Mount Sinai incident where 3,000 people died, we have, you know, on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, which is Mount Zion, 3,000 people get saved. Wow. So if God's trying to show us something, I think he's trying to show us that, look, guys, the covenant has changed. And Paul was persecuted because he preached this. I mean, he was not a very well-liked man in the religious circles because of these things he preached. And he wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. It's the second letter he wrote. And in chapter 3, he contrasts the two covenants like this. He calls the law that was given, he calls it the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. And he contrasts that with the Spirit, the new covenant, which is the ministry of life and the ministry of righteousness. So they're two completely different things. The law is the knowledge of sin that shows us who we are not and what we cannot do and what we cannot achieve. So whenever you put yourself under the law, under the old covenant, you will live in deficiency because you know and are aware of your sins, and you live in this place of sin consciousness. And when we live in sin consciousness, Dave, when we live in that place, we continue to live in sin. In fact, when you think about not doing something, what do you end up doing?
You do the very thing
you don't want to do.
Exactly.
In Romans 7, Paul talks about this battle where he knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows what he's not supposed to do, but the thing that he's not supposed to do, he ends up doing, and the thing that he wants to do, he doesn't do. And what he's showing us is that is any person who is placed under the law. It is not designed to bring us closer to God. It is designed to bring us to the end of ourselves, where we now have a desire inside of us and a desperation for a Savior. And it was beautiful because God gave the law, which worked perfectly for those that were humble and honest and said, you know what, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. And then there is Mr. Grace and Truth himself, Jesus, who gave his life for us. And so we see this story, this what happens in the book of Luke chapter 9. It's in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51 to 56. If anybody's at home reading Luke 9, 51 to 56, they can read this later. But what happens is Jesus is going around to the different villages, preaching in the villages about the kingdom of God and, you know, sharing about the new that is coming, the new wine, the new spirit, the new grace, all these different things. And he's sharing this, and the village in Samaria rejected him. They said, we don't want it. Leave. And so Jesus and his disciples are leaving. But John and his brother James, who Jesus nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, they say, Jesus, we have, they didn't say this, this is Josh's paraphrase now. They said, we have biblical precedent based on what Elijah did when he was rejected, that we can call fire down from heaven. So they say, Jesus, let's call fire down from heaven and consume this village and destroy him. Now, they have every right to request that. Why? Because Elijah did it. There's biblical precedence for believing this, for calling fire down from heaven because they were rejected. These were not covenant people. I mean, this is absolutely biblical. And so you have a lot of Christians, unfortunately, today that are under that same spirit where someone rejects God, someone rejects morality, someone rejects them. And what do they want to do? They want to call fire down from heaven. Now, not physically, but they will gossip. They will condemn. They will make them feel guilty. They will judge them. And all of that is the same thing. They're trying to bring judgment on those people for rejecting Jesus or rejecting them. And now I'm not saying that there's not going to be a judgment. There is a judgment for those that reject Jesus, absolutely. But Jesus responds to the disciples, and this is how we as Christians need to respond to the same thing. He tells them, he says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Wow, that's really interesting. So we know that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the God of Elijah that answered the prayer that brought fire down from heaven and consumed the soldiers in that time is the same God with Jesus who is not calling fire down from heaven to consume the village that rejected him. So God didn't change, but obviously something has changed. There is something that has changed, and that's where we go full circle back to the difference of covenants. A covenant is like a contract where our relationship is based on what is in the contract. Now, a covenant is much stronger and bigger than just a contract, but a contract's easy to understand for all of us. And so when we understand that God did not change, but the contract did. The contract between God and man through Moses, which is called the Mosaic Law, that was one thing. And so God would keep his end of the bargain when we kept our end of the bargain.
So
that's where we get. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let me ask you a question here. What if somebody said to you, okay, since the new contract or the new covenant is basically the New Testament, then I'm just playing devil's advocate here, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what if someone said, okay, well, we got that, so but why do we even have to even read the Old Testament? What difference does it make? Why don't we just forget that and just read the new one? Who cares?
Yeah, a valid question, and there are people out there that actually treat it that way. But the beautiful thing is, which is amazing, is without the Old Testament, it would be like building a house without a foundation.
Nice.
So imagine trying to construct a home without first laying the foundation. The first storm that comes, that house is going down. The very Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the prophets, Moses, all of them are they provide the integrity of the structure that God is building. Like it, without the Old Covenant, without the Old Testament, without the prophets and what God did, what Jesus did wouldn't mean anything because what Jesus did was fulfill. He was the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And in fact, when you go back and read the Old Testament with the correct eye goggles, the Jesus eye goggles, Jesus is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end of Malachi. He is scattered, laced all throughout the Old Covenant, because then he would come and fulfill it. Jesus is there. The Old Covenant is extremely relevant. And if anything, I love it because in a way it is our dictionary for what the New Testament authors are saying. Like if you're reading a New Testament author, you're like, what are you talking about? Most of the time they are bringing Old Covenant shadows and bringing them into the light. Old Covenant ideas that we didn't quite fully grasp in the Old Testament. Like, what do you mean in Exodus chapter 20 that if you take a Hebrew slave And he on the seventh year, he gets to go free. But if the Hebrew slave decides he loves his master and loves his family, he can go to the wooden post and they will drive a nail, like an earring, through his ear into the post. And now he is a bondservant of his own free will. What? Who on in their right mind would ever want to stay a servant when they can go free? And the reason behind it is because, number one, they love their master. I'm sorry. I've worked for some good people, but I've never wanted to keep myself bound to my master, especially the way it's written. It says he loves their master, one, then loves their family. Sorry, my family has always come before my master.
Right,
but what this is, and this came right after the Ten Commandments, it is a prophetic picture of Jesus in his own free will becoming a man. And instead of leaving, which he had every right, he had every ability, he could have exercised his free will, he could have left us. But because he loved his master, because he loved Yahweh, because he loved the Lord, and then because he loved us, he decided to stay, and he, by staying, would be nailed to a wooden post. Man, that is amazing.
Wow.
Jesus is scattered throughout the entire Bible, and everything is pointing to Jesus, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the Word from the beginning. Jesus is the fulfillment of Scripture. And the new covenant, here's where it gets really big, Dave, is this new covenant we have is not between God and man, as in through Moses and you and me. No, 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 no. And that's where we get it twisted. This new covenant is between God and Jesus, who is a man, the perfect human. The covenant is between God and Jesus. The only reason we are partakers of this covenant is because God is so gracious to unite us in Christ and Christ in us. We are his body. So because the covenant is between God, the Lord of Lords, Yahweh himself, between him and Jesus, guess what? We did not initiate the covenant. We cannot cancel the covenant. We cannot mess up the covenant, because we were not invited to the covenant ceremony. If anything, we are the ones that drove the nails into his hands, put the thorn on his head, and yet he hung there saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Wow.
Jesus's blood and all of that was the establishment of this new and better covenant, established on better promises that you and I are partakers of 100%, because God is good and he's gracious. It has nothing to do with what we have done, other than place our trust, our faith in him. That's all God asked for. It's amazing.
And that's all we have to do is we just have to receive the covenant. I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah, that is all it is, because Jesus did everything.
Wow.
Jesus literally did everything. And Dave, the next, I don't know where we are in time. Let me see.
You got a few minutes.
I think,
Okay,
a few minutes. You know, a lot of people then say, okay, then what next? You know, what's the next thing then? If I'm not under the law and I'm not, you know, having to follow all of these ordinances and rules, you know, then what's to say I don't, you know, just. And there are not many, but there are people that, you know, they don't care how they live because, you know, grace.
Isn't that what Paul was talking about in, I don't know if it's 7 or 8, but I might as well just go ahead and sin if I'm under grace.
Yeah,
and then he knocks that argument to pieces. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly. And the way he responds, though, is different than what we would think. We would think when you say, well, let me just continue in sin. And that's, I believe, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He says, let's just continue in sin so that grace can abound. He says, no, that's stupid. That's dumb. Not because he says, but his answer is interesting. He says, no, because it's actually impossible to do that. He says, because once you're under grace and you're a new creation, something happened, and it goes all the way back to, yes, you guessed it, the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. I believe it's Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 28. What is God prophesying? He says, I'm going to cleanse them of their sins. I'm going to make a new covenant with them. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to change what's on the inside of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give them a new heart and a new spirit, and I will be in there with them. So now this new covenant, we don't live by rules. We live by the Holy Spirit. Because let me say something, Dave. The worst thing that you can do is to replace the counsel, wisdom, and leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit with some kind of rule. And that's what we do. Because guess what? Rules are easier than relationship. 100%. If you give me a list of do's and don'ts, that is a lot easier than having a real relationship where people can get hurt, where my heart can grieve, where there's love and there's potential for hurt. That is a lot more difficult because that requires energy, that requires sacrifice. Whereas rules, do's and don'ts, hey, you know, and with rules and do's and don'ts, I always know where I stand. So it's always in my hands and in my strength and my ability. Relationship is extremely different. And that's what God did with us, is he transformed our heart and gave us a new spirit and united with us. So we don't just live like crazy. We live like God.
Well, I love everything you just said. And you're talking about relationship. Of course, that's the name of the show, right? It's all about relationship.
Right.
But it is. I mean, that's exactly as God wants us to be open and honest with him and just pour out our hearts to him. And as we do that, he's going to pour his love into us. And actually in the teaching that you did yesterday at church, which I was privileged to listen to, you were talking about laying ourselves open and naked before the Lord, right?
Yes.
I don't know if you want to mention that for
a few seconds. It's the most transforming thing you can do, because we as humans, and it goes back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the very first time they missed it and sinned, what do? They ran from God, they hid themselves, and then they made themselves fig leaves to clothe themselves. And this is a picture. It's beautiful. It's an actual perfect picture of humanity. This is what we do. Even if we didn't miss it, what we do, we run from God to hide from God. And then we clothe ourselves with fig leaves. And that's all pictures of we clothe ourselves and hide behind our money. We hide behind our status. We hide behind these fake walls that we build up. Instagram, Facebook, we always put the most amazing pictures forth with filters.
Exactly.
Why? Because we never want people to see the real me. We don't want people to see my mess. I don't want people to see the things I struggle with. Why? Because I'm afraid of rejection, and I'm afraid you might not like what you see. And the thing with God is he hates that. Why? Because he loves us exactly as we are.
Right.
And if he was to love us, and if we were to receive his love and blessing in pretense and pretending to be somebody we're not and not being open and naked before him, he will not love us actively. It will be hard. You will feel frustrated and dysfunctional. Why? Because if he was to love you in that, you would think he loved that wall. You would think he loved that fake smile. No, he likes the real you. Just read David in the Psalms. Oh my gosh, what is he always doing? No matter what it is, he is pouring his heart out before God, broken, a mess. And he's just pouring out. God loves that because he can be real. That's having real relationship. I don't want to have a relationship with a robot or someone fake. I want you to be real with me. I want you to open up with me. And that's relationship.
It is. And one thing, David is one of my heroes in the Bible. I mean,
other
than Jesus, he is my main hero. And what's interesting is that the Bible calls him a man after my own heart, God says.
Yeah.
But yet he was an adulterer. He murdered,
Uriah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, David was kind of messed up in a number of ways, but aren't we all, you know? And
exactly.
But his heart was completely open to God, and he just poured it out, and God, here I am, take me as I am, you know?
Yes.
And he never turned him away. I love that. I love that.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
so good.
It really is. I hate to stop, but I guess we need to, but
these kinds of things I can talk for hours and sometimes do. So it's just so rich and full, and because people have questions, what about this? What about that? And it's great to be able to answer them, because all those questions they're asking, trust me, I've asked them a long time ago and still ask questions. And God just continues to speak to me through his word, you know, and it's amazing.
Absolutely. Hey, I loved having you on today. Everything you said was awesome. I really hope that anybody that's listening to this, replay it, because Josh said so much in the last 20-some minutes here that, some of the stuff might have gone over your head. I don't mean that, You know what I mean. Sometimes we hear things and then we need to hear them again. So
absolutely.
Yeah, re-listen to it and share this with your friends because people are going to get blessed as you do.
Amen.
We're talking Old Testament versus New Testament, grace versus the law, bondage versus freedom and love, right? Something like that.
Right.
Josh, once again, can you tell everybody your social media handles and all that?
Yeah, if anybody wants to listen to my messages on YouTube, they're all posted. If you go to youtube.com, it's youtube.com/ my full name, Josh Lotzenheiser, JOSHLOTZENHISER. And so, sorry, that's only one E at the end. One E at the end there.
Nice.
That's twice.
Folks, check him out. He's really awesome. He is in real life, too, like I told you. Josh, God bless you. Thank you again so much for being on the show today. I hope I can get you to come back sometime again.
Anytime, Dave. Love it. Thank you for having me. It's always a blast.
All right. Thanks, Josh. God bless you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We'll catch you next time on It's All About Relationships.